Today is October 10th, 2018. This is another rendition of the Expanded Budget Committee of Tompkins County. And we're back tonight for another voting session. A couple of things. At our meeting last night, in which we talked about several issues, one of the things we decided was that we would have a third voting meeting. So that means we will not end up tonight. We will have a meeting on the 12th?
15th.
On the 15th. So we got another 5 days before we will have the, hopefully the end, when we will adopt the tentative budget, which will go then to public hearing. We've been asked for the 15th to have our discussion about the over targets for the Cornell Cooperative Extension budget that agency talked about at that meeting. We've also been asked to put over to that meeting the request that we postponed last night for the money for the Live in Ithaca, Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce proposal. I still want to say Live in Ithaca. And we've also now been asked to postpone number 13 on your sheet, which is to the Human Services Coalition from Henry Granison and Dan Klein, the amendment for $10,000 for TCAT bus passes. So we've got those three things that we'll be discussing on the 15th. So we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things to talk about tonight. We can, what's that maxim that the job expands to fill the time allowed? Let's look at number 14. This is being proposed by Mike Sigler, and it is to County Administration, $23,000. One-time funding to be distributed to towns of Ithaca, Lansing, Groton, Newfield, Enfield, Ulysses, and Dryden based on population of those towns and earmarked for their town parks. It's a one-time, I think I said one-time. Mike, you want to speak to this?
No. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, really. It's, you know, I figure if the city's going to get $10,000 for its parks, it only seems fair that the other surrounding areas get that some money, too. Why $23,000? Basically took the population of Ithaca. That's about 30,000 people. The rest of the county, 70%. So did the math and came up with 23. Figured we should break it up by population because that also seems fair. And that's about it. I know Ann has some suggested language change that I find friendly, so if she wants to speak to that, that would be great. Something about Ulysses, you know, not having any parks. So, please, Ann, take it away.
Well, let's go to Rich first. He has
his hand up. Sorry.
I'll go after Ann if there's a substantive change.
I needed a second for this, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Glenn Morey. Go ahead, Ann.
I actually don't have that email on my phone. I mailed it, or I emailed it from a computer at home.
No, I've got it. So give me 2 seconds. Here we go. Ann Cartman. So
this was after talking with the Town of Ulysses board last night.
So earmarked for town parks, and then there's this addition. Inclusive of any village parks, to acquire, develop, enhance, or maintain public parks directly or through contracts with nonprofits, which basically just makes it more all-encompassing. Say you have it's going to be up to the town boards how to spend it, so if they want to do that, but that gives them the opportunity to do that.
Can I finish up on that? And
yes.
So, for instance, the town of Ulysses doesn't have a town park exactly, but they have a couple of other things, and one of them is a nonprofit park in the hamlet of Jacksonville that they give money to, but it's separate.
Rich?
I understand the parity argument, and I'm inclined to support this, but I'd also look at it and say if we're applying budget money, we should be applying it to do something rather than just saying do a proportionate amount of money to non-city parks, it would be, I think it would be better if we could apply it in some, to some purpose, say planning, which is essentially what the city money is going towards.
Shauna?
I am in support of this this amendment, as I have spoken with Bill Goodman from the town of Ithaca, and they could definitely use the funds to help with upkeep of the town parks.
Dan?
So this, the money that was is in our budget or from last year's budget, it's still in there, I guess, to fund something related to City of Ithaca parks is not upkeep. It's not money to be used in the parks. And I know this is a different legislature than the one that passed that allocation, but it was very specific, which was we do not wish to write a check to the City of Ithaca or anybody else for them to maintain their parks. The money was to be used for a study to see if there might be a different governance structure for the parks that might involve the county and might involve other entities as well. So this, to me, this amendment is not really related to what the whole original discussion and allocation was for. And the last thing I'm going to say is I'm just going to take this opportunity to talk about how I do think the town of Lansing and all these other towns could and should be involved in this, which is what emerged from the study that's been done so far with the city and what I would like to see expanded is this exploration of a parks conservancy, which is a not-for-profit organization that can be partially funded from governments. And I would like to see that idea explored with the idea that the towns, all the towns mentioned in here, could join that conservancy and benefit from it with things like shared staff, shared payroll, programming, equipment, fundraising, that kind of thing. So I would support money to study a governance model that includes these towns. I wouldn't support one to just give the towns money to mow the lawn in their parks.
Deborah.
Well, I want to thank Dan for that history lesson, because that sort of turned me around on how I feel about this. I kind of agree that we shouldn't be funding our municipalities' maintenance costs. You know, the village of Lansing has several parks, and I know how expensive it is because I was on the committee that created the latest one, but and you're right. If we allocated that money to study how parks in the city are going to be managed vis-a-vis the county and the city, then maybe that study could be expanded to consider not necessarily a county park system, but a way that we could fund or partner with a private agency that would be responsible for the maintenance, upkeep, and any planning and additions to all of our parks.
Martha?
It's true. There's a real big bright line between one-time money and ongoing money, and cutting the grass maintenance is clearly ongoing money, and if we gave away $23,000. Maybe that sounds like not much, and what does it hurt? But it's really bad precedent, especially if it's like undesignated, just here you go, something to do with parks, and we'll write you a check. To be clear, in the history of this, it was really centered on Stewart Park. And, in fact, the city wanted us to look at Stewart and Cass and even the golf course. We said, no, we're really just looking at Stewart because it's really a regional park. It's a different animal. And the idea was if it was going to remain there's no cost to enter and no cost to park, if it's going to remain free to all county residents and all anybody from anywhere, which seems like a high value to a lot of people, then it couldn't continue simply with the city taxpayers paying for it. So that's a really big question. How do we grapple with something that's obviously not simply a municipal resource, but is being paid for by one municipality, but enjoyed by many, many county residents? And they have surveys, and maybe it's time for somebody from the city to refresh to educate the new legislature on what was in their first phase of their study, because there was a lot of data that they found about who visits the park, who supports the park, who would like, you know, what they'd like to see at the park. So, however, anybody who watched these meetings last year know that I was kind of drawn kicking and screaming to this at all. And, like, I don't know, like, okay, listen, if you guys want to help pay for the jail, maybe we'll help pay for the parks, okay? But, and I am not in support of a county parks commission. Then we're talking a really bigger scope of work for county taxpayers to absorb. Does that relieve town taxpayers? Okay, maybe, but, you know, it's a whole other scope of work. I don't think we have the need to get into. Anyway, so there's just a little history that the Stewart Park proposal is a very unusual one because Stewart Park is unique. I am getting a little nervous about what feels like a tit-for-tat thing. Your town, my town, your city, my municipality. We represent the county and the good of the county. And, for example, if we get into we're paying double taxation because of city roads and whatever, that is a long and divisive road. So I might support this if it were really much more clearly identified. I don't know who administers this. I don't know if it's just a blank check. I certainly wouldn't support it for completely unstated purposes. I don't want it to be for mowing the grass. I would like it to be for something, if we do this, that's an infrastructure improvement, a one-time thing. Build a trail, put benches in, build by a playground that then the municipalities support in an ongoing way. So some random thoughts.
Mike, and then Shauna.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here, so I'll do this quickly as I can. You're right, it does feel like a little bit of a tit-for-tat when the mayor of Ithaca comes out and says that the city of Ithaca is basically subsidizing in commuters, you know, negating the people that are actually coming in and working and paying a lot of the bills. So, yeah, I guess it is a little bit that way. But the reason I left it as one-time money, it's not ongoing money. This is a one-shot deal. I think the towns know what their needs are in parks more than I know what they are. To act like Stewart Park is the only park that's used by people from around the county, I think I go to the town of Ithaca trails. I ride on those trails. I've gone to Dryden, Dryden Lake. Nobody charged me to go to Dryden Lake. It's beautiful there. I go to, when we go to music in the park in either Ludlowville or Myers Park, there are people from other places. You know, it's not, I understand Stewart Park is a special park to a lot of people, and it is used by a number of people. But, you know what, so is the library down here. And the city doesn't pay any money for that. And the city doesn't pay any, and the town doesn't pay any money for the library down here. And we call it the Tompkins County Library. And that's awesome. And you know what? Yes, we need to do that because it's our library. But, the rural libraries get a little bit of money from us, too. And I don't go and tell our rural librarians how to spend that money. We give it to them. We trust that they have the expertise to know how to spend it. Same idea here with this one-time money. And it really is one-time money. It's not an ongoing expense. The city of Ithaca clearly has a problem funding its parks. Okay. Well, that's why we're giving them the $10,000, to figure out how they can do a fee structure. I don't know what's going to come out of that study. I mean, I can tell you if that study includes, hey, let's form a countywide park consortium, my town's probably not going to buy into that, because my town is, the park is basically self-supported because we have docks. Maybe that's part of the Stewart Park study. Maybe they should study putting in dockage. I don't know, but that's how they've chosen to spend their $10,000, and I'm not going to the city and saying you shouldn't spend your money on that. So lastly, I just wanted to say, I did have an oversight. Danby and Caroline should be in this. So if we could add those two towns to the list, that would be great. Because it really was meant to include just everybody.
Is that friendly to the seconder?
Yes.
And that's about it. So thanks.
Oh, did Ann move it? Glenn accepted it. Yes. Use your microphone.
I need some help capturing the friendly language change about villages.
Yep.
Thanks.
Are you ready?
And Mike, where would it go?
It goes right after earmarked for town parks, and then you could put like a colon or something, inclusive of any village parks to acquire, develop, enhance, or maintain public parks directly or through contracts with not-for-profits or non-for-profits.
I'm a slow guy here.
I'm going to email it to you.
Inclusive of village parks?
Email it to you.
All right.
Should I do that? I will forward it to you.
I'd be okay about taking out the word maintain.
Mike, can you email the language to Kathy?
I sure will.
All right. We'll help you, Kevin, get it right. Okay. Does everyone understand what's happening?
since can I say?
I've got Shauna next. It's about the language.
Yeah.
Then go ahead.
Since I suggested that the revision, I would like to take out the word maintain.
So what would it include?
I will take out the word.
They want you to reread it again, Mike.
Oh, here is, okay. Inclusive of any village parks to acquire, develop, enhance public parks directly or through contracts with nonprofits. It is on its way to Canada.
Again, Glenn, is that satisfactory to you?
That's fine.
All right. Then let's go to Shauna.
Whenever I brought up Bill Goodman's comment, it was not to say that the only thing they want to do is mow the grass. There are plenty of things in the town of Ithaca that they could do with their parks. I also ran into Beth McGee, who's a supervisor at the town of Enfield, and she was especially excited about this due to the fact that they don't have a lot of money to spend on their parks, and they have a plot of land, and they actually wanted to do a community garden. So I think even a small amount of funds would really be helpful for them.
I think Henry was next.
Yeah. Jason, would this be considered a gift?
No, it's a municipality. Unless it's an individual, but no, it's a municipality. Yeah.
Martha?
So you just added two more towns. Do you have an allocation of how much per town?
I don't. I'm just going to break it up by population. That's fair by everybody.
Okay.
I don't have a strong feeling on that anyway, so if you had a better suggestion, that'd be fine. I figured just population would make sense.
I would just weigh in. I'm really troubled by this, and I'm a rural rep, and I really support the idea of trying to help our town parks. I think the amount of money here is so diluted, it's not going to help any of them all that much. I agree with Martha about the history having to do with the funding for the Ithaca study having to do with Stewart Park. That's as far as I agree with her. I want to vote for this, but I see it eggs and apples with what we did with the other one, and I'd like to see some point something more developed, Mike, and have you come back with it and say, we see these needs. We see a need for this amount of money, and this is what we're proposing. And I may have this argument thrown back at me later, but I just think that considering the size of this request, it's going to be a real hassle to administer. I think Jason will probably have to assign somebody to do it, and that they're going to, he's going to have to calculate what, where the money goes, how it gets back, show that it was properly spent, and then everything else we do with contracts. So I'm just having trouble with this whole thing, particularly about the size of the grants. Go ahead, Rich.
I'm going to say I agree with Mike, but that's what I mean. I agree with Mike Lane. I really do want to support this, and I would feel so much more comfortable if this legislature had developed some goal or policy of what we're trying to achieve for all the parks. Last weekend, I went out and walked around Salt Point. It's wonderful, and it's free. So I recognize exactly what you're saying, that it isn't just Stewart Park that's used. It's all the parks are used by lots of people from lots of places. So I wouldn't be averse to voting for some money from the county to enhance the parks generally so we have a network of really useful, pleasant parks for everybody.
Here's your chance.
But we're not getting there with this. This is just unfocused. It's just throw some cash out. And I don't know that it gets us anywhere. I think we could do better if we thought about it and planned. So I think I'm going to vote against this, but if you brought it back with something more developed, I'd love to say yeah.
Okay, I think I have Leslie next, then Anna, then Martha.
Oh, boy, I was not going to speak on this one, but Martha, I agree with you in more than one things. You know, I too was kicking and screaming about what came to us because I thought we were studying how we are going to take over Stewart Park, and that made me very nervous, and I was not going to vote for that. But, you know, they came back with a better proposal around there. Mike, my problem with it is just the way you presented this. We can't do this. We're not spiraling down into, I gave you, so this one has to. That's not, for me, that's not good business. We're going to give to the city. You're right. We can speak to a number of things. I think of all the parks and all the municipalities who have the option. I don't know if the beautification dollars still exist. I think they do. Dan was heavily involved in that. That can apply, can get that monies, can take care of some of the things you're talking about. Without us going to the, you know, yeah, because we did this, we're going to do this other things. We're sitting here talking about TCAT and thinking about why aren't the other municipalities contributing. We've got the REC partnership that we fund a big part of that everybody participates in. So we don't want to go down that road. It just feels too divisive. And, you know, I'm with Rich, and I'm looking for something a little more focused. If we want to study something, if that's what we're saying, and we want to do apples to apples, I'm good with that. This just feels like, you know, we give the city money, so we're just going to give these guys money to do whatever. That's not what we did with the city and that study of the whole park system within the city of Ithaca. There's a lot of study that went into that. I just wanted to say that. You know I love you,
I'm just going to add briefly to what Leslin just said, because Leslin hit on a lot of the points I was feeling, which obviously must have been, and I apologize for coming late, a lot of the points that Martha must have made. Several of us, Dan, Martha, and I can't remember if anybody else was involved in the city plan. And one of the things, I think we were all cautious at first, and Dan was, when he first presented to me, really wanted to understand the usage, really wanted more information from them before we could weigh in at all, if I recall correctly, which is why I really respected the process. And part of the information that they gave us was how many people visit, which parts, which things do they use, so that we could understand usage better. From that usage, we could get a strategic plan of where things, where money should be put, what facilities would be needed, surveys that were done with the people who were visiting the parks. That was very helpful to win me over as far as supporting it. I've heard you talk about this for, you know, a year or more now in response to the study for the city, and I just want you to know I really respect your point, which is we really need to be equitable. So for me, if you came back to me and you had a game plan and you had something laid out, I just talked to Glenn really briefly, I understand the communities do want this, then I would love to see a group of the community member representatives come together and talk about what this would be and what study and where would the money be used. That would be strategic to me and that I could get behind. So I look forward to that. I hope that that comes back, but I think I agree with the others.
Dave?
Yeah, I know both of my communities are looking forward to having something like this happen. We're developing a new park in Newfield, and as you heard, Enfield wants to do a garden. I'd be all for making a pot of money like $40,000, $50,000 and doling it out in $5,000 increments, you know, based on a need for development of a park or something like that for any of the communities in the county. That's my two cents.
Martha?
Yeah. So I find myself disagreeing with myself, but, you know, on the one hand, on the other hand.
Join the crowd.
Dave, that's a great idea. It's a whole nother job of work for somebody to set out the criteria and evaluate it and what committee is that going to, PDEC, I'm thinking. So what? Which has nothing else to do. Mike, do you remember the phrase, was it George Topman who used to say camel's nose under the tent on a regular basis about okay, is this really a road we're going to go down? Because, you know, we could. We could. It's not wrong. It would be nice. This is really... We have a lot of challenges. There are a lot of demands. I'm looking at what the mayor wrote. And, yeah, there needs to be some better communication. There really, really does. So I'm disagreeing with myself. I'm inclined to vote against this in this form. Maybe this is really, really a TCOG conversation, and let's... Can we use it to stimulate some actual intermunicipal cooperation and thoughtful planning? I guess I'm probably going to vote against it in this form.
Let me say something, Mike. I'm hearing a lot of folks are intrigued by this idea. They're a little troubled by the process. We have one more meeting. I wonder if you might want to think about reworking it and coming back with something at that meeting.
Sure. I mean, I'm up to 50 grand now, so.
I'm just making that a suggestion. Anna.
I'm just throwing something out there. I guess this is a question for the whole group. We don't normally do a discussion, but the one thing that, again, Glenn and I were just talking about that makes total sense to me is a lot of the smaller municipalities, they don't have any money to do this. They don't have a youth, you know, so I understand that. But the conundrum is that you put a pot of money, do you base it off of how much each one is used? Do you base it off of the needs of the specific community? How do we even know what those are? Do we just throw money in and put a garden in all of them? I mean, I think that that's where I am coming down to, and so then I ask the group, would it be appropriate then to start with putting money into supporting that kind of small, tiny study in each of the municipalities so that we help them understand what it is that would be the most effective? I mean, maybe one would want a garden, but maybe that would be totally inappropriate for another one. I don't know, but it seems like that's the step that's missing, so that we put money into something that is the most effective for each one of the municipalities.
I just want to point out we've now gone a half an hour on this. I have Amanda and then Leslie.
Ann? Okay. I totally support this. I think I love you all, but you're making this really complicated. I think it's just a little bit of money. Let them work on their parks. And if we want to do a bigger park conservancy or big studies, then let's go for it. I'm for that, too.
Leslie?
Amanda, I wish it was not complicated, but it is, because this is going to be a little bit of money here, and then there's going to be another thing with a little bit of money there, and if we start setting this precedence, all it needs is focus. Nobody's saying don't support it. All it needs is a little bit more focus. I love the idea that Dave suggested, and I don't want to micromanage who's going to do it. There's a guy that wears glasses and a green tie right now. That might be something.
Yeah. There you go.
Can work out with somebody else who makes lots of money about
I'm
how
right there
they
with you
administer
one.
This.
Thanks, Mark.
About how they might administer it. That's what these folks do, man.
I think that's a great idea.
But, you know, if we want to set aside some money and say, you know, let's come up with what the process will be, let's just do that. We went through years of trying to get the rec partnership stuff together, and it was a lot of heads that sat down and worked that out. So it's not undoable. We can do it. But I don't want to just start this precedence because it's going to keep, there's going to be more and more and more. Let's focus it.
I believe this discussion will go on all night. I have Mike again, and I have Deborah now. And let's stop at that, and then let's proceed to take whatever action we're going to take.
My last comment is a suggestion to put a couple of examples. You know, for instance, the Hamlet of Jacksonville, they need a new pavilion. It's 20 by 30. It might cover $1,000, might cover the costs for the materials. I would also like to suggest dividing up not by population, since we don't have those figures. I'm just worried about Enfield getting some small amount and the town of Ithaca getting a very large amount. So that's just another suggestion.
Mike?
I'll be quick. I was just looking for a little equity. We're giving $10,000 to the city for their parks. That's the bottom line, though. I mean, literally, that's what we're doing. They asked for 10 grand. We're giving them 10 grand. I don't see, I mean, this is one-time money. If you're asking for setting precedents, we're already doing that. You were giving the city $10,000 for their parks.
All right.
That's the precedent.
I'm sorry, but Deborah's next.
So I very much like the suggestion that Dave made. And I'm wondering, because I'm new to this process and I don't know if it's possible to do this, we have set aside certain amounts of money in these OTRs in a contingent fund for a specific use. Why could we not do the same thing here? Why could we not set aside $50,000 that would be available to towns and villages that presented a worthy project that they needed financial assistance for?
Jason, do you want
to? If you're looking for an answer, it would have to be moved by someone to do something like that.
If it goes down, I'll write it.
And I'll move it.
Another meeting.
And I'll second it.
Who's moving what? You're moving to amend?
Can we amend and amend it?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the last.
We have one more meeting. I could literally write this up, and Dave can.
That would be great. And we're going to be
let's
in
do
another
that.
Meeting anyway.
Okay.
We have another one.
All right. Then do you want to withdraw that tonight? You want to vote on it tonight?
Not on that.
Table it for tonight.
If the motion I have on the floor goes down, then I'll write something new up. I'll send it to Dave, and I'll send it.
I got to go to Martha, who wants to make some motion.
Well, my motion was going to be put in the contingent fund, but I'm not happy about $50,000, so or whatever. Oh. But so if you want to vote on what we've got.
But don't worry. When I'm done, it's not going to be $50,000.
No, it should be
right,
enough
right.
money to make
we're
a
done.
Difference.
We're done. We're going to vote on this. So we're going to vote on this One time, $23,000 to the towns, villages, and contractual not-for-profits for parks. So it's the original motion with the amendment to add the extra entities. And all those in favor of this, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. All those opposed, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Why are we missing somebody? Hands up for those against. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven,
eight, nine.
All right, that fails. All right, we're going to number 15. This is from Martha Robertson and Anna Kellis. It is a target increase for the legislature budget of $2,500 for additional for legislature travel and training for legislators to attend NYSAC conference, bringing total to $5,000. Is there a motion by Martha? Is there a second by Anna? All right. Who wants to talk about it? Martha?
Yeah, there's already an OTR. This would increase that amount. We found that in September, planning for the conference in September, we ran out of money. And I wanted to – it was asked about other training, travel and training. I think it should certainly be for these kinds of conferences. NYSAC is the priority. I don't think it should be the only thing that could qualify. Although I have to say, if the total amount in this bucket is going to be $7,500, if a lot of people want to go to both NYSAC conferences, that'll still eat up most of that. So NYSAC, I would say, would be the priority, but not the only eligible conference, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
I
have Anna Kellis next.
I don't know exactly how to word this. I just want to add to what Martha just said. I think that the language does need to change to say something to the effect of attend conferences such as NYSAC as the priority or something to that effect.
So that's fine.
Okay.
Well, you two are the movers and seconders, so that's friendly, I guess.
Attend conferences such as NYSAC.
Leslin.
Thank you. Essentially, that's what I wanted to say. You know, because NYSAC isn't the only conference that I find useful and beneficial for me in my political life. And often I don't get to go to the conferences that matter to me because all the money has been spent on NYSAC. And I don't need to go to both NYSAC conferences. So thank you for that language change. That's all I was looking for.
I have a question. During the presentations, it came up that there was training money available to departments in, I forgot which department, in human resources, that's right. And we were going to explore that as to whether that might be available for this instead of extra money into the budget. And I wondered if anyone looked into that. Kathy, did you look into it?
There is money available through that Human Resources Department budget. I don't have a dollar amount, though.
But that's for all departments.
Yeah, but that's for all the other departments, I thought.
For all 700.
I was asked to look into that for the clerks. Because we were talking about that the clerks don't ever go to conferences. And when we were talking about increasing this line for us, which is in the legislature, sort of in Kathy's budget, Kathy actually proposed the first $2,500 is the OTR. So I was asked to look into that for the clerks. And that there certainly is HR money for that
clerks.
Kind of training.
Yes.
For the clerks. This feels a little different.
It is.
It is? It is? Is it?
I think it is because I think it's different because all the departments would go through HR for approval on that. In this case, you're not going to have the HR commissioner sign off or disapprove your training. I think you want to treat them as separate. You govern your training budget, and departments usually coordinate with the HR commissioner.
She can try.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. You know, I think there's probably reason to keep them separate.
And if you want to increase your budget, you increase it because you control that. And it would, be a, it would put a department in an awkward position to have to deny training to a legislator. That's my two cents.
All right. Thank you. Ann Corman?
So my understanding of this, that it would bring it I have a question and then a comment. The question is, so this would bring the total up to 5,000 if this was passed?
If this passes, it'll be a total of 10,000 for that line.
What?
I don't understand why it says then. It says bring total to 5,000.
I think that's just the OTR amount.
Your current budget is 5,000. The original OTR that was in the recommended budget was 2,500. This is adding another 2,500 to that, so the total budget would be 10,000. So your budget right now is 5. The OTR that was recommended in my budget was another 2,500.
Okay. And then so, thank you. So my comment would be a suggestion for us legislators to talk another time about people, because I would imagine the cost of one person going to NYSEC conference, I would imagine it would be over $500 for one person.
It's actually 1,000.
About 1,000?
About 1,000 for one person.
For one person to go, so I would talk again later about going to NYSEC once a year for each person.
Deborah?
Well, some of us are on sitting committees, so we have to go to both of them, but I'm perfectly happy, as Shauna and I did at this last one.
Right.
We just went up for that one night.
Sure.
Okay.
Martha?
In the past, I don't remember ever running out of this money. So I assume a lot of people went in January because people were new.
Mm-hmm.
That may not continue. I would propose to work out with Kathy some kind of a plan, so it's not just first come, first serve. We know that we got two conferences a year. We know, depending upon where the fall one is, it could be more or less expensive. So I would propose that we put this money in and work on a plan and try to set it up so it's not just the Hunger Games.
No, I've been practicing my
argument. I would say that we need to be self-regulating. Not everybody needs to go all the time to these conferences.
Right.
Okay, we're ready to vote on this. All right, those in favor of adding this multi-year, adding it as a target increase, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. We'll go next to number 16. This is one I proposed, and this is money into the county historian's budget. I proposed a one-time for 2 years of $5,000 each year, and this is to support our new historical commission. Anything that they do or recommend spending money on would have to go through the historian and be approved under her auspices. I don't know how much they're going to need, but there will be money for things like, as there was with our previous commissions, like the Civil War Commission and the Bicentennial Commission, publications, plaques, other kinds of commemorations supporting other efforts. So this is just a placer at this point, and we'll see by doing it 2 years, what the commission is recommending, whether this is enough money, whether it's too much money, and it'll get it started. So that's why I proposed it. I wondered if someone else would please move it for me. Ann, seconded by Deborah. Go ahead, Amanda.
I'm just wondering, and maybe this is a Jason question, do we give this kind of money to the EMC or the Water Resources Council? Just here's $5,000 and you can do whatever you want with it?
I think because it's a new commission, I think there's a difference there than EMC that's been well established. I don't know the history of EMC as to what requests they've had over time. I would say, based on what I know of their budgets, it's usually more project specific. But I think, briefly talking this over with Mike, I think it's just really to kickstart start them up as they identify their priorities.
I was just wondering about the commission.
Can I just mention that, for example, in EMC, we actually pay for staffing that commission.
Right, they have staff. And this would have the county historian on it, right?
Right, and she doesn't get paid very much.
I realize that. I'm just looking at the comparisons between giving this particular advisory board funding and how we do with other advisory boards.
Okay. Our other comments, Martha?
I mean, last night we were talking about the advisory board, the UNAs and the plastic bags, and people were talking about the EMC budget. So I thought somebody was saying in their budget, no?
They do have a budget.
Do you know how much?
No. Well, they have a static amount for the UNAs. Maybe Dan knows.
Oh. Kathy or Michelle, do you know?
No.
I think it's project specific.
Yeah. Right, but they're doing the UNA in inventory every year, so.
Each one of those is OTRs.
Every year, yes.
Okay.
Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Number 17 is also one I brought forward. This is a big one, but it is... subject to further approval by this board, because what I have suggested is a new contingent fund appropriation of $200,000 one time from our reserves that would be, Martha's used the term, have a rope around it. Well, it would be in contingency, probably would be moved eventually into IT. CTC to coordinate for a study of our major federally funded route, which is Route 13, in the area from Village of Dryden to Nisag, which is the congested part of that road. We aren't saying what's going to happen there. We've talked about this in transportation. I've talked about it with the town of Dryden, and there's a letter coming from town of Dryden supervisor Jason Leifer, saying that they would like to participate in this, and they're a necessary player because if we get into things like access, they are the ones that have land use control. We don't have that. And so this is to try to get something going there. The federal money, if it's available on the tip, would be quite a long time coming, depending on whether the transportation bill ever gets passed by the Congress, or there's any additional money there. So that's why I have proposed this, and someone would be kind enough to move it for me. I'd appreciate it. Deborah, seconded by Dave. Discussion. Martha.
So did this come up in committee? Was it?
We talked about it at our last committee meeting, yeah.
Was there a vote or a motion or anything? Or just...
No, I told them that I had planned to bring this forward.
Okay. The planning department did a major study of exactly this route, this section of Route 13, I don't know, 6-8 years ago. And I don't know that the town of Dryden, most of it had to do, as my memory was, most of it had to do with zoning issues so that they would try to, The big idea that came out of it was to try to reduce curb cuts, so they didn't have all sorts of people, every single parcel having a driveway onto this major highway. I don't know that they did anything about it. I don't know if they followed it in any way. I kind of don't think that they did. This is unusual. I mean, usually the TIP comes out with, their priorities for what ought to be studied. I know when you're talking about state money in the past, it's been clear that the state wouldn't support a study like this unless there was a pretty clear commitment that the local municipalities would actually do the work that was identified as needed by the study. So This is, I don't know. I mean, I know it's a really big problem, and so, but this feels really out of the ordinary.
I would respond that probably is out of the ordinary, and it's not something that we've been able to kickstart, and hopefully this would do it. Nothing would go forward without another vote of this legislature once a plan is developed. Mike, then Shauna?
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things that I said in committee, the reasons I was against this. We're talking about a federal road. I mean, we were talking about precedent on, what, 23 grand. We're taking over federal roads now, or we're going to tell the federal government what we think should be done with a road? I mean, our human rights office, we can't do that. So I guess part of my problem is we're studying this to what end? Like, we could study it, and federal just go, well, thanks for your report, but, you know, it's our road, and they don't have to accept anything we say. And plus, I think we've studied this road quite a bit. Sometimes it just is what it is. You've got a pretty major highway that has a left-hand turn in it, or a right-hand, depending on, you know, a 90-degree turn in Dryden. I don't know how you get around that. You know, can't cut through the solar panels, can't cut through the cemetery. I don't know where you go with it. And I know that we want to treat that as a problem. The octopus is a problem because it takes you 30 minutes to get to the city. The highway itself, is that really a problem? Do we need more big truck traffic coming through Ithaca? I mean, we can't handle what we have now. It would seem to me that's kind of the problem. So I don't know. Even if we were to do a study, though, I don't think anybody would accept it. I mean, the feds, they're kind of territorial. The state's territorial. Everybody, hey, this is what we think should be done. So, yeah, I can't see putting $200,000 towards something that I don't think anybody's going to accept from us. So, thanks.
Shauna?
I would be willing to support this if it also included Warren Road and Route 13 and Hanshaw and Route 13, just because every year there is loss of lives at both of those intersections.
I'd be thrilled to have that included personally.
Okay.
And I think that's when we actually get into the scope, I think that would be a reasonable request.
I would move that.
As an amendment.
As an amendment?
Yes.
And I will second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that... Well, it's friendly to me. I'm not the mover. I'm sorry.
I am.
You're the mover. Is that friendly?
Mm-hmm.
Who seconded it?
Seconded.
Dave, would that be? All right. So that is added to that language as a friendly amendment. Anna?
So just trying to understand, has there been any outreach to the feds or the state about an interest in supporting something like this? And
yes.
And
they're saying they don't have, DOT says, New York State DOT says they do not have money.
But
the federal money comes here through the New York State DOT. We don't actually have like a federal office that provides the money directly.
So we understand that the DOT has said, we know that this is a problem. It's on our list of problems. We know it needs to be addressed, and we're not going to pay for it.
They know it's the road. They know the issue. We've been to Syracuse and talked with them about this and other matters, including, as Mike talks about, downtown. We would certainly not want to move forward unless they were a part of this study with us.
So I guess I'm just trying to understand. I know that they fund projects that's where the process is. We petition them and they fund a project on their road. I'm listening to what Mike said and it's ringing to me. I just wouldn't want to put the cart before the horse if there is a process for them to officially sanction or support an investigation of something. I would want to see that first.
And that's why if we park it in contingency, that those things can happen. Deborah.
I'm confused, Mike. I thought it was a state highway, and you're saying it's a federal highway?
No.
Federal money.
Oh, yeah. It's all federal money. Yeah.
Some state money, too.
It's federally designated That and Route 79 are both have some parts of Route 79.
Our emergency.
Have because that's this is our lifeblood. This is we don't have an interstate connection in Tompkins County, and so all we have is Route 13. Martha,
did you have your hand up first? So who would carry out the study?
I think we would need to have it once we decided the scope of it, working with ITCTC, then it would probably go to a consultant, I'm guessing.
So you're proposing the ITCTC manage the process?
Eventually.
Develop the scope?
Eventually. One thing we could do is put it into ITCTC's budget, but I'd rather not do that because I want it to come back to this group before it goes any further.
Well, I would.
We don't have the instructions to give to ITCTC right now.
I mean, I actually think our planning department is maybe a better place to put it.
It may be.
Though I don't know if Katie has any. I mean, they conducted this other study with a consultant, but because the reason is, my sense is, I mean, I know the road well. It's not the road. It's the land use. It's the fact that a lot of people commute from the east, actually in both directions. And that was also part of the study that was done before to say, look, if we're going to reduce traffic there, we're going to have to give people other ways to get to and from and less reason to have to commute in the first place. All right, so I guess I have a question about who administers it, who manages it. I mean, define the scope. That's somebody has to do that. Are you saying, Mike, that the town of Dryden, you said participate. What does that mean?
Well, there's going to be a group that is going to come together to manage this or to give direction to the manager, whether it's ITCTC or planning, as to what we're looking for and how we need to proceed.
So they're not going to put money in. You said they'd be on a committee. Is that sort of what you're saying?
At this point, they have not taken any board action. I have talked to several of the members, and I have a letter coming from the supervisor saying that they would be interested because they're concerned about Route 13, too, and they would be part of the committee that's looking at this.
Part of the committee, but they're not going to put money in. Okay.
They haven't offered any money. We haven't asked them for any money.
Got it. Okay. I mean, I don't want to say this is not a challenge. This is one of our really big problems here. I'm not sure about this initiative.
Deborah?
Did you have
something? I just have a quick thing.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
That's all right. I mean, my quick thing will be, I mean, if you guys do decide to vote for this, this really does set a precedent. Okay, so regardless of what we were talking about earlier, it's going to be hard for you to argue that state mandates are the big thing that's driving whatever, because you're basically saying that, well, the state's not going to do it, so the state, we're actually accepting that and saying, okay, we're going to accept that as a state mandate. But since the state's not going to pay for it, and it's the state's road, then we're going to take care of it. I have issues with that, and you can argue, well, that's not what we're saying. Yeah, that kind of is. Like, you're saying, well, the state's refused.
Well, let me
here's
just
$200,000.
Can I just give you an example, Mike, in response to that? When they put the concrete highways through here, which included Route 13 in the 1920s, the towns and villages were able to put extra money in from themselves for what were called betterments. Maybe it was a wider section through a village, for example, or parking areas, or something that made it a better area. So supporting the projects of the state highways with betterments is not unusual.
Okay. I don't know how that fits into what we're talking
about. Well, I'm just saying that it's not setting precedent for a municipality to try to improve a state highway in an area within itself.
I don't know if a study really is what you're talking about.
Well, the study's the start.
An actual physical.
Hopefully, the study will come out with recommendations, and then we go to the feds, then we go to the state, and we try to get the money for it. All right, let's go to who had their hand up next. Deborah, then Shauna.
So one thought I had, Martha, with the questions that you were raising, those are valid questions, but I'm not sure that this is the stage at which those questions should be examined and answered. I think that that would be when we actually came up with a proposal for a study, and then we could talk about whether this is the proper scope and who should handle it. And I had something to say in response to Mike's point, but of course it just went.
Shauna?
My reason for supporting this is not for the planning purposes. Mine are purely for the health and safety of the people that are using the intersections. Again, there have been loss of lives almost on an annual basis. At the Warren and 13, I've had two constituents get into automobile accidents, and I really do think it's a safety concern.
Martha.
I mean, there's a real process for this. The ITCTC understands and studies all the intersections in the county, all the road segments in the county, all the traffic counts in the county. It's their job to sort through those and prioritize. And every time there's a five-year planning update, they have public meetings, and I'm pretty sure nobody can go, you know, nobody goes. But there's a process. Mike is our liaison to the ITCTC. Have you talked to Katie Borghella about it?
Katie comes to the transportation meeting, Jeff.
Has she had input? What's her feeling about this?
She hasn't made a statement one way or the other that I can remember.
No, she's been part of the conversation. I would imagine whether the project rests under ITCTC or otherwise, the planning department's going to be involved. Obviously, it's a planning initiative that involves some land use and jurisdiction, so they're going to be part of the project one way or another.
Ann?
I'm just looking at the write-up. I know that's what Kevin's doing, and also what Shauna said about adding those two intersections. How would you feel about saying, trying to think, so which road is lower? So that would be or more South Warren Road? Right? Or Henshaw?
Warren Road is more southerly, actually westerly of Henshaw.
Hard for me to remember on the other side of the lake there. But so how about all the way, instead of 2 Nysek, 2 Warren Road, because there's a couple other little roads that are also dangerous when they're in there. For instance, Brown Road, trying to people get out of there. And I know there's been a lot of accidents. So just to be inclusive of all the little roads.
It's fine with me. All right with you, Dave? Is it all right with you, Deborah?
What?
She just wanted to say that the study could go as far, include like Brown Road and other intersections there.
Well, sure. It's down
well, stretch. Right there it just says those two roads.
Yeah. Well, but we include
them. It just say Route 13 from Dryden Village to Warren Road.
Yeah. That's all right. Okay. Henry.
How did you come up with the estimate for the amount, and does the amount change since you've added sections?
I sat down with, I talked on the phone with Fernando about this. We've talked about it before, and he felt that $200,000 was the right amount to get this started. So that's where it came from.
Okay.
Anyone else? Ready to vote? So the vote now is to put this money into contingency. It's one time. It's coming out of fund balance. And it would be for a study of the area from Dryden Village to now Warren Road.
Before we vote, I have a question.
Sure.
So what would be the trigger to bring it out of contingency? How does that work?
Well, hopefully the Transportation Committee will be working and putting this together and come back with a resolution authorizing it.
Identifying the scope?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a good avenue to start with the Transportation Committee and come out with defining the scope and then requesting, probably giving us an end, you know, home for it,
and as part of that scope, and then that, if that money is transferred by the legislature, then that agency, whether it's planning or ITCC or in partnership, they would do an RFP and go through your procurement process.
Thank you.
Rich.
I think I'm going to vote for this, but I wanted to make clear that I'm not sure I would vote for it when it comes back. I'd really like to know what the planning department did 6 or 7 years ago,
yeah,
and whether that really answers what we need, if that could just be updated at a much lower cost. But I will vote in support today.
Okay, I thought we were ready to go, but go ahead, Anna, if you got something else.
So just so I, a summary, understand the process, if this goes through now, it'll go into contingent. You will go through the process of figuring out what department it would go through, as well as what the scope of the study would be.
Yes.
That would be evaluated in committee and come to the full legislature for a vote of what the extent of the scope would be.
Yes.
And has some of the discussion included an evaluation of things like park and rides and including, for example, TCAT in the process of figuring out the needs of mass transportation and alternative forms of transportation, maximizing use of those services? I mean, is that included in the thought process that you had in putting this OTR
could
together?
It could be. We've talked about, we've met with TCAT and Transportation Committee. We've talked about things like park and rides and their needs for buses and all of those things.
The reason why I say that is because I think those things are needed. I think that we need to reduce the traffic coming into the center of the county. And there have been discussions about park and rides and discussions about coordinating mass transportation to alternatives, integrated mobility services, and it hasn't moved forward. So if something does include those as a priority when it comes out of contingent, if it moves forward, then I would support it. If the focus is simply to expand the width of the highway, that wouldn't be something that I would support, but I would love to see what you come up with. So for now, I would support it going into contingent if it includes those ultimately.
Martha?
I would agree with that, and those things were in that the last planning department study, and it really talked about nodal development and these other options, and not just about creating, for example, a beltway around the village of Dryden or creating a four-lane highway instead of a two-lane highway. There has to be a deeper analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, ready to vote. All right. Anybody not understanding what we're doing? All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that passes 9 to 5, excuse me. All right, let's move on. Number 20. This is moved by Robertson and Kellis again and Dan Klein. For TCAT, it's new. It's an increase in target funding for partner share of contribution to TCAT. And it's a $73,000 target increase for what we give to TCAT. And I wonder, who wants to move that? Moved by Anna, seconded by Dan. Who wants to begin talking about this?
I'd love to have Dan open it up.
Go ahead, Dan.
It's pretty much as simple as the size of TCAT and the cost of running the operation is just huge. The amount that the county contributes towards TCAT's budget is relatively small. It was 17% or something like that, where all three partners are 17%. So there is a lot of other money coming in, so I just want people to understand that this money isn't going to go all that far, but it is necessary. The cost of one bus alone is about $500,000. So you could just see that the amount of money just to keep things operating where they are is very large. Just like TC3, this is a joint venture, and each entity has to put in the same amount. I understand that it is in the mayor's recommended budget for the city. If this moves forward, this would be our portion, and then Cornell also needs to come through, and we're not sure yet if that's going to happen or not. you know, there was an alternative discussed during the department presentations and earlier, which is if it doesn't materialize this year, or even if this does materialize this year, that we're going to try to put together a multi-year funding request so that we can think a little farther into the future. So there is a feeling that we can either do this funding now, or if we don't, if we fail to pass this, it's just going to come due another time, that in the future we're going to need even more money. That's the basics.
I've got Anna next, then Henry, then Martha, then Glenn.
I just wanted to note, I've been going to so TCAT reports to PDAC, so a lot of the PDAC members have been hearing from TCAT. They've come and reported a few times. I've spoken to Scott on a number of occasions independently, as has Jason. There's a couple things that are really important for me. One is when they've laid out for me the actual cost of what will be needed to meet the demands moving forward, one, to meet the demand that already exists that we currently aren't meeting, and then to meet expected future demand, they pretty much need to double their budget. And this is a very small amount moving forward. You know, we talk about housing a lot, and we've had this amazing Danter study that shows what the pent-up demand is and what future expected demand is. And we are planning accordingly to try and build up slowly and credibly to meet that demand. Everyone knows that housing and transportation are intrinsically linked. And if we continue to focus on one without focusing on the other, transportation will fall behind, the infrastructure will not be in place, and we will have a serious problem on our hands. The last thing that I would say is that we talk about integrated transportation a lot. This is the one piece of the integrated transportation that, one, is the largest, and two, is the only major one that ensures equity. Equity in access for everybody in the county. So I just feel very strongly about this, and I implore people to support this, and then we can work on the Cornell, hopefully, to support it. They are building a strategic plan, and I respect the plan that they're building. This is not willy-nilly. They're not just throwing something out at us. So I hope everybody can support it and support them moving forward over the next 5 years of their strategic plan.
Henry?
Dan, you said that there's the three partners. So if one partner, if Cornell doesn't chip in the money, what happens?
There's no increase to the budget. It has to be the same for all three partners.
Okay. And when will Cornell, because I know Cornell's ahead in terms of their timing, so how are they going to?
I'm not sure the answer to that. They are aware of our budget process, so I assume they'll come up with a response soon.
Martha.
Okay. We always have that problem with who's first and who's second. So we know that this was later than we wanted it to be. The whole buzz presentation was later than usual. So if this had come in time for your decision-making, Jason, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yep.
Would you have included this?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And I have had conversations continually with Dan Kogan, Chief of Staff for the city. The mayor did include this in his budget. And I have had regular conversations with Gary Stewart from Cornell. So obviously, after this meeting tonight, I would probably email both of them, letting them know the outcome. Cornell, obviously, their budget process, I don't think they know what their budget process is like. It's kind of this continuum of budget. But, yeah, they do start earlier. So I have been in touch with Gary regularly about that. And I think, you know, if there's two out of the three parties, then we'll have to have a sit down and talk to them about, you know, how much of a heavy lift it is for them to make it work or not. But I will let that communicate with both of them after tonight's meeting to let them know the outcome of this.
Martha?
That was me.
I'm sorry. I called on you. You're right. What I'm lacking is everybody else that wants to speak. Please put your hands up again. Let's figure out. We've got Shauna. Glenn doesn't anymore. Leslin. Let's do Leslin. I think you were next, then Shauna.
So I'm a little crabby tonight. This TCAT thing really bugs me. And here's why it bugs me. For, I don't know, 15, 20 years now, we've been talking about what you mentioned, Dan. having the partners get together and have sort of a five-year plan out all the time about, all right, if we all decide each 2 years we're going to put in this much or whatever it is, then we're not at this place. Because it always feels like we're stringing TCAT along, and then if we put in and the city doesn't put in, but Cornell puts in, and then it's no good, and it keeps getting more and more expensive every year. Eventually we're going to be saying to folks, well, it's going to be $200,000. They're going to look at all of us like we've got eight heads. So is there a time that folks can just sit down, the three partners, and strategize about increasing funding to TCAP on a regular basis so folks can plan out for it, and regardless of whose budget happens when? You know, I want to support this because I want to see TCAP get its money. But if, from what we've been hearing, Cornell wasn't going to come to the table with anything else, we're back at square one. So that's, I had to get that off my system. Whew.
Do you feel better now?
It's Deborah's fault. I don't eat bread, and Jason. She brought bread.
I will say that we have been working. Your timing is impeccable. We are working on right now and trying to get a meeting together with the three stakeholders. And we're trying to coordinate that with different schedules to kind of have this conversation of why are we, you know, let's not get caught in the situation. If you're going to be introducing into Cornell's budget, you're talking about March, April. Let's talk about more of a multi-year approach to it, like Dan said, so that everybody can make a commitment, you know, once every 2 years, once every 3 years, where it's revisited and updated or reaffirmed, but there's some more planning around it. So we're trying to coordinate that meeting now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shauna?
I also think for the first time in a very long time, there's true vision with TCAT. I think Scott Vanderpool has been a much-needed leader for that organization. And so it's nice to see someone that has a vision moving forward. I think whenever we talk about voting for this amount of money, we have to realize that TCAT really is the future, and it really is our lifeline to many people in order to get to work, to get to school. And it's something that we as a county, I feel, really, really, really need to support.
Henry.
Well, two things, Dan. This is just a talking amount. This does not include the expansion of the movement of TCAT at all. Okay, and Anna also talked about that they would need double the budget.
That was an exact number, Henry. I'm just pointing out.
Well, you said double the budget.
They a lot.
Is this just a small bite of the budget, and next year it's going to keep going up and up?
To some extent, yes. There's a huge need. I agree with what Anna said, basically, you know, whether it's exactly a double or not. We want to put more buses on the road. There is unmet need out there, and we know it. We're in a big bind in a lot of ways. Buses are expensive. They're all federal money. If anyone can predict what's going to happen with federal grants, let me know. We don't have any more space in our facility for buses or drivers. So we want to meet this increased need. It's expensive under the best of conditions. We are not under the best of conditions. So, yes, there's this huge need, and there is a sense, I was just speaking for myself, that TCAT's far from its potential, and because we're constrained in a lot of ways. So a lot more money would provide a lot more service, but short of that, we need a little bit of money to just keep things together.
Also, Cornell's building, or hopefully building, or theoretically building on North Campus, adding, 2,000 beds or whatever. So does TCAT plan on renegotiating with Cornell for the
additional,
additional amounts?
You brought up a very sensitive topic. there's a three-year MOU with Cornell about how much that they pay to TCAT. I believe we're only about 1 year into the current one. I could be wrong on that. But so, yes, there will come a point not too far in the future where we'll be renegotiating.
Martha.
Well, Dwight Mengel is sitting here, and Rich said, is this why Dwight's here? And I'm looking at the list of things. I don't see anything else that Dwight really is expert on as much as this might be. I wondered if... I called you out, man. Is this why you're here? And if so, would you like to say anything? That's a yes and a no. Okay.
That's a no.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? Remember, this is an increase in the tax levy because it's a target increase. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good night, Dwight.
Good night.
That was really mean, Martha.
Well, you might have wanted to speak.
Mike?
No.
Dan?
I just want to make a quick comment. As far as I know, even though it's a simple idea, the idea of doing some multi-year budgeting, as far as I know, that idea and initiative was Jason's, so I appreciate that particular piece of budget and all the other particular budget expertise you've brought here.
Thank you. Number 27, moved by to be brought by Martha Robertson, new money to the Office of Human Rights. We're talking about one-time funding of $8,000 for contract with Central New York Fair Housing for affirmatively furthering fair housing program. You want to move it, Martha?
Absolutely. Then you can say it three times really fast. Yes, I'll move
really
that.
Fast.
Yeah.
All right. So second. Seconded by Anna. Go ahead.
So this is it's kind of a collaboration between the Planning and Sustainability Department and Human Rights. The Housing Committee knows, and I've briefly mentioned to the full body that there have been changes in the CDBG funding, Community Development Block Grant funding, which is our biggest source of HUD money. So we are putting in an application for county money, and in order to comply with that, we have to do a number of things. These are new requirements or sort of enhanced requirements with respect to fair housing. And so there's a resolution that will come to the Housing Committee next week, and that will come to the full body about affirmatively furthering fair housing. This is a one-year contract with CNY, Central New York Fair Housing. They were to help OHR to comply with the requirements. This is the group that Sally Santangelo presented at that group that the meeting about the source of income that Tierra Labrada organized. The summary, I mean, I have a two-page proposal here, but it's $8,000. The Planning and Sustainability Department thought this was low for what they were going to do, so it was, in their mind, a very good value. And I can sort of read the bulleted list if people would want.
Yes.
Okay. And my apologies for not sending this out ahead of time. They proposed for $8,000 within the calendar 2019 to conduct two trainings for county staff on fair housing rights. And I'm just reading the top lines, not the descriptions. Conduct two fair housing trainings for community members, including landlords, property managers, and one training for human service providers. Fair housing marketing, they will provide posters and informational materials to the county to distribute to housing consumers. A fair housing survey, assist the county with developing a survey of community members to assess fair housing issues and concerns. Facilitate annual public meeting. They'll help us host an annual public meeting to gain input from the public on these issues. And then 60 hours of technical assistance to Tompkins County officials to help us develop policies that affirmatively further fair housing. So that's a particular thing. So this may include reviewing planning and policy documents, assisting in gathering community input, and recommending policies that improve housing opportunities for vulnerable populations. And it would be administered out of the Office of Human Rights. And Ken Clark is involved in this and supports it understands and supports it as well.
Deborah.
I just want to be sure I understand that the services that they're going to be rendering, although this is going to be administered out of OHR, the training and furthering that they're doing is going to be available broadly to county agencies and departments and also the not-for-profits that do the Section 8.
Yeah, absolutely. And importantly, to members of the public, housing consumers and housing providers, proprietary as well as nonprofit providers.
Henry?
I thought that we were going to lose that funding, the
CDBG.
Right. I thought that it ends in March.
Jason's leaning forward. I'm going to be happy to have him answer the question.
This is yes to that question. I think this is more in reference to a CDBG application for grant funding. So the CDBG program has been advertised. We are going to be applying for funds. As part of those funds, or as part of that application, we have to confirm or reaffirm that we will follow through with this affirmation of furthering fair housing. And in that, there are certain federal requirements, training requirements, publication requirements, survey requirements of fair housing and how you're furthering fair housing in your community. So this is helping comply with those federal requirements and regulations should we be awarded the grant funding. And in order to apply, you have to show and demonstrate how you're going to do that. This would be part of how we would do that. We would be contracting with this agency to be able to provide those services in partnership with OHR and the Planning and Sustainability Department.
And to answer the question, one kind of CDBG money did go away, and that's why just this last month this Planning Department said, oh, we weren't planning to do a CDBG grant, but we think we'd better do that because the other money is going away. So that's why this has come up.
And so we've never applied for that funding before?
No, we have, and we've gotten a lot of it over the years. But it's a pain in the neck to apply. It's a lot of work. And they thought we had the program income from the previous HUD money that has been recycling in the home ownership program. And by the state/federal actions that are pulling that money away from counties, and that's really evaporating, they thought, well, let's apply for this other, even though it's a different thing. It's for rehab, basically, not for ownership, but something. So.
And we need CNY Fair Housing to do it because we don't have anybody in-house who can do it?
Well, they're really good at this. This is their bread and butter.
For $8,000? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, importantly, it's not just paste it on, they're going to come in and do it for us. They're going to engage our staff. And I hope that it becomes something that, as I'll dare say, we rebuild the OHR, they'll have much more capacity to do this on their own the following year.
I agree with that. It's good. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the specialty they're coming in with, it's what they do. For that price and that value, for what you're getting out of it, I think it's really the money well spent. Even if you don't get the grant award, this is pushing your fair housing initiatives, your interest in fair housing. I will just distinguish differently is that this is not a source of income push. It's not a source of income education. Those are two distinct issues. This is continuing to push fair housing.
And when are we going to, when does it have to be done to be completed by the time when we file the application? Does it have?
Over the course of the grant being executed. So let's say you get awarded the grant, you'll execute these requirements over the course of the grant period, which is usually no more than 18 months.
Oh, so you can apply first, get the grant, and then
yes.
Do the trainings?
I mean, yeah. I would say that.
If we vote to pay for this in our coming budget, and we pass a resolution that's going to come through committee next week, this will be the good faith promise that shows to HUD that we're completely prepared to comply with the goals of the fair housing goals for the program.
And will we find out about whether we get the grants?
That'll be December. It's a little later this year, the announcement, so maybe it might be after the new year. Usually they would come out they would come out in September, they would be due in September, and this was about a whole month behind schedule. So
awards are usually announced in December, so they could be on that same track, maybe a little bit later, maybe after the new year. It's usually about a three-month turnaround.
But I would add to what Jason said, even if we don't get the grant, this is a great package of services, really important to a key issue that we really want to address for a very little bit of money.
Are we ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you very much. I'll forward this description.
Number 28. This is from Rich John. It's new. It's to the contingent fund, and it's $35,000 one time. That would be coming out of our reserves. Place funding for position of resource coordinator for mental health court in contingent fund, pending details from mental health and progress on mental health court. Rich, you want to move that?
I would like to move that.
Seconded by Anna. Rich, you want to speak to it?
Yes, thank you. I had mentioned this yesterday, just to give you a heads up. This arose as a result of Judge Scott Miller coming to the Public Safety Committee and giving an update on the status of the proposed mental health court. This has been an ongoing process, and it seems to be proceeding very quickly because there was such support for it. The idea is that it's a concentrated court when people get involved in the criminal justice system who have mental health issues and consent to it, to instead attend the mental health court. They commit to regular appearances over a course of a year, and they're monitored very closely with a team, not only the judge, but mental health counselors and other support people to try to make sure that they stabilize, remain stabilized, and stay out of the criminal justice system. The program appears ready to launch even as soon as January, and the one piece they're missing is a resource coordinator. This money would pay for the first year of that position, where it appears that the Office of Court Administration provides funding on an ongoing basis but wants to see a running program in order to do so. There seem to be multiple benefits to us getting this in place and running now, and this would allow that to happen. I had mentioned yesterday a couple other things, that one, that ongoing funding would likely come from the Office of Court Administration after the first year. That's why it's one time. The program, after launching, has to operate for a certain period of time, but if it's successful, can then take referrals from town and village courts. So it would be a benefit to the judges and magistrates throughout the county. And it's also in the contingent fund because it came in late, so that we would have time for planning and making sure that we're not duplicating any of our ATI programs, and that we're working in coordination with those programs as well. Frank Krupa took it under consideration, and he came up with the number of $35,000.
Okay, I've got questions starting with Glenn Morey.
Does this go through the district attorney's office, or is it through the mental health?
It would be mental health, but Matt Van Houten was at the meeting and spoke strongly in support of it.
Dan Klein.
So with the understanding that, you know, we don't know all the details yet, what does $35,000 get? That's not much of a position.
That number came from a job posting in Newburgh of $46,000 for the same position. The thinking is that we would be starting from zero participants in the court, so there would not be a lot of coordination work at the beginning. We probably could do a half-time position. If it's fully successful, this would save us a tremendous amount of money in terms of avoiding people going through the jail and other parts of our criminal justice system. I think we could then justify perhaps a budget adjustment mid-year if we needed it, but I think this would be enough to get us through the whole year.
So at this moment, you're imagining a half-time position, a new half-time position, but $35,000 is still not enough.
That's right? The number Frank Krupa came back with.
I mean, that's like,
23 yeah, plus bench?
Well, 70, I guess. Yeah, okay.
70.
Anna.
Thank you.
A couple things. The 35, just want to make it clear, the 35 was recommended to us as a part-time.
correct?
Yes.
Right. So then I'm not sure if I reached out to Scott. I haven't heard back from him yet on the last question I had, which was, and I brought this up in committee, that the potential funding of this in the subsequent year would be based off of whatever program we had in the first year. And so if we fund a part-time in first year, what I don't understand is why they would then come back with a grant for full-time if we've only funded it at part-time ourselves. And so I'm curious if you got any response back from Scott.
I haven't gotten a direct response on that, but I think there would be a ready answer there in that it was starting from zero participants, so that we didn't have the coordination work that a full program would.
Right, but if we're putting this into contingent, why wouldn't we put a full year's worth into contingent in case we started as a part-time, the person is working as a part-time because there are no participants. But if, as Scott, Judge Miller said, he already knows of tons of people that he would move into this program, might fill up really quickly, we would then want it to be full-time. We wouldn't want to constrain ourselves. So would it be appropriate to put a full-time, and I think there was definitely a lot of support for that in the the committee meeting. It's been a long night for all of us.
I take your point. I was trying to approach it in as cost efficient method as possible. But if it's in contingency and the will of the legislature was to put in a larger amount so we didn't need to do a budget adjustment later if we needed it?
That would be my amendment.
You're making an amendment?
I am.
What are you moving?
I am moving to have this be enough for a full-time, which would be 70, according to the recommendation from Frank Krupa. He said 35 for a part-time.
So you're moving to amend this to
contingent for
$70,000 in contingency for one time.
Correct.
All right. Is that friendly to you, Rich?
Oddly, I'm in agreement with it, but I'd say it's not friendly because I'd really like to get the sense of the legislature.
Then I need a second for Anna's amendment. Seconded by Leslin. Discussion on the amendment. Martha, go ahead, Leslin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rich, I hear what you're saying, and I have to go back in my memory with the startup of drug court, similar. And I was involved with that. And although there were no clients at the time, it's an enormous amount of work to sort of get something going. So I hear what you're saying. Might not be any clients right in the moment, but it was really a lot of work, and you're talking about people from different agencies who were involved, so it's a lot of people trying to make this happen. So I would agree with Anna that let's just park it. And I mean, if you're being cautious because you don't think this body will vote for a bigger amount of money, which is what I'm feeling, you know, we agree that this is something that we would do based on the study that came forward. And I'm feeling strongly that we should, in good faith effort, say that we want to make sure that this is funded. I mean, I don't care what amount of money goes in there, but I just want to make the point that it is a lot of work.
On the amendment, Martha?
Yeah, I was thinking about drug court also, Leslin, and my sense is that, I guess I haven't talked in detail to Scott, but, or Frank, my sense is that this will become something that, say, one of our forensic counselors might do in addition to their current job, where they'll shift, they will maybe do fewer clients, but they will, so that this will be part of their job, and not, certainly not full-time for the full year. So on the one hand, it doesn't hurt anything to have more in contingency, but a question is sort of strategy about the application to OCA, to Office of Court Administration. What will they think? Well, if we put 70,000, are they going to think, oh, well, Tompkins County can just afford to do it? Or Do they see that as more of a commitment than 35, so they would be more inclined? And is there any sense of the strategy with respect to getting this approved in OCA's ongoing budget?
That's part of the reason to put it in contingency, is we don't have that strategy worked out yet. But Jason, you had something to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so there's no real path when you come to the court of, you know, Office of Court Administration. They kind of function with no real clear, this is not a norm. I mean, they do what they do, and you don't really ask questions. They just do it. So when, I think when it comes to this type of thing, when there's a plan set forth, if the conversations are going to happen at the district level saying, all right, we want to move with this, mental health court is a priority. I think the state is starting to recognize that. So if you have a plan, you want to move forward with it, you present that to them, and they say, okay, let's see the results. There isn't a formal process. I think it's something that when you show results and they want to embrace it, they'll accept it and pick it up the next year because it is proven to work. There isn't a program or like a grant program where you apply for money through OCA.
And their timing, is this on the state calendar so that, like, the application has to really be in and be part of their budget that gets done by April 1st?
I don't know, but I think those are all questions we'll ask probably the next 30 to 60 days. You know, if this were to go, I mean, it's a good question. It's the same questions I asked Frank when we talked about this a few weeks ago. If you put this forward, we have to have some conversations, and most likely Frank would have them with the judge and OCA saying, all right, how does this work if this, you know, come this time next year, you think this is something you're willing to fund? How do we do that, and how does it work? Does it have to go on your fiscal year? Is it the state's fiscal year? So I think that's what we'll come back to move it out of contingency, out of the contingent fund and into mental health when you have a more of a formal plan, that being one of the questions to answer.
Because it could actually be that our part would only fund up to April 1st.
It could. I mean, okay. It could. You know, you could go through 2019 into the first part of 20, depending too. My guess is with something of this minor in the large Office of Court Administration budget at the state level wouldn't be a hard thing to do if it's successful in showing results. But that's the question we can ask the judge that we can have with OCA.
Next is Shauna, then Mike Sigler.
I think one thing that's important for everyone to realize also is that Scott Miller is a city court judge, and so he would only be hearing city court cases for the first year. If that's successful, then he could become a regional mental health court judge. My thought process is that if we allocate the part-time person and he does become a regional person, there would be evidence-based numbers once he became a regional judge for the funding for a full-time person, for them to fund it through the regional access. So I would probably not support the full-time person, but I would support the part-time.
Mike?
I was literally going to ask that exact question. What's a regional? Wouldn't he have to become a county court judge? And if after, why isn't this being put under a county court judge then? I mean, I love Scott, but
Office of Court Administration, how they roll these out, they have to be run as a city operation for the first year. If they prove that they can operate properly, they can then apply to include the town and village courts in the county. And that's what Scott was here saying he wanted to try to do.
All right. Are you ready to vote on the amendment?
No.
Anna?
Just a couple things. One, I want everybody to remember that this would be going into contingent, so if we didn't use the full amount, we wouldn't have to use the full amount. If we don't put it in there, we would have to come for an adjustment. So I do want everybody to remember that. Secondly, in the committee, Scott made it very clear that it would be great if he could get a full-time, and he would work up to that. If we would only fund a part-time, he would work with whatever we gave him. Three, that the success of this is leaning on it being very effective and efficient in that first year, and they are going to be coordinating with about six different departments, many of them county departments, not city departments, including, for example, DSS, as one of them, mental health, Department of Health, all of those are county departments that they will be coordinating with. So it is on some level county in that respect. This is absolutely what we're looking for with respect to diversion. And if it is successful and we support it being very successful, we won't be carrying the burden of the cost of it after that. So when it does become county, it won't be our cost. So it behooves us to make sure that it is very successful in this first year to get to that second year. And if we need that full 70, it'll be there in contingent. If we don't, we don't use it.
I'd like to get to a vote. Martha?
I know. I'm disagreeing with myself again. So, Kevin, could you show us how much we've added to or taken out of reserves. How much in one-time funding we have supported altogether?
2.39 is what you're at. The recommended budget at a little over 2. You've added 382,000, almost 383,000 to date with your amendments to the past 2 nights.
And we're at 1.84.
Yep, this would not impact that because this is a one-time.
Just putting it in perspective.
Yep. Right, so it's 383 is what we've additionally taken in one-time funding.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to support this.
Okay, ready to vote on the amendment. The amendment is to increase this from a one-time at $35,000 to a one-time at $70,000. All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That fails. Now we're back to the main motion. And the list I have has Mike Sigler, Shauna Black, and Martha Robertson.
I pass. Thanks.
Shauna?
I pass.
Martha?
I'd like to move this at 50,000 one-time funding.
Make another amendment. Is there a second for that? Anna? Okay. On the amendment, who would like to speak? Martha?
Yeah, I mean, at 35 just seems so low. And I mean, especially if you take fringes out of it. So I think this is a more realistic number.
Thank you.
Shall we just go to a vote?
All right,
so the amendment would raise this from 35,000 to 15,000 one time.
It would add 15 to make it 50.
I must have misspoke. Raise it 15,000 from 35 to 50,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand what we're voting on? Those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes. So now the main motion is on $50,000 one time into contingency. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed? We have one opposed. That carries. That brings us through what we were going to do tonight. Have something I'd like to get a sense of the body on. We're trying to. Martha's asked to bring the her motion for the Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce next time, which is fine. Martha, you ask about having some kind of a slides or presentation. That's something we normally don't do, and I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be a better idea simply to have Jennifer send those to us and have us look at them so we have them ahead of time.
I think, if she could be given 5 minutes, it would really be helpful for her. I mean, I didn't do a great job explaining the program itself.
I have no problem giving her 5 minutes to explain it. I have a problem doing a PowerPoint. That's what I've got a problem with.
I mean, I think especially because the issue is not entirely, but a lot is kind of this website, that she could show us very quickly what it looks like.
Well, I'm just saying she could send it to us ahead of time.
I think then you can't really see the functionality. I mean, I think
what's the pleasure of the group?
And the color to it. Those
who want to have the PowerPoint, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's a majority, so we'll have the PowerPoint.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Dan, are you still thinking about bringing your motions?
I am. As has been done in the past, it feels like that's a good last thing to do because it affects the tax levy, which we will at that point know what it is. So, yes, next time.
Okay. So is there anything else? Let's adjourn. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mike.